What is Demystifying Research? Hosted by me, Kelly Harris.
And me, Katherine Hoyt.
Demystifying Research is a space where we dialogue on training, careers, and all things research.
Everything from is research right for me to thinking about applications, mentorship, which research degree is right for me, handling failure and rejection, CVs versus resumes, and funding. This is a space where we engage in discussions around the questions we all have or have had when considering a career in research and science.
As clinician scientists, we seek to answer questions and address issues that aren't clearly addressed in more formal spaces, things that weren't addressed in our clinical training, questions that we may not know how or where to begin to seek answers. This is not a space only for scientists and researchers, but for anyone who may be interested in science and research. We're so glad you've joined us. Let's dive in.
And today we are so excited to be talking about a really important topic related to research. And everybody that gets involved in research careers is often thinking about funding. How do we pay for the research that we're doing? So today we're excited to have Satvika Garg from the American Occupational Therapy Foundation to join us to talk about what funding is, what that means, where do you get it from?
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Satvika Garg. I'm an occupational therapist with over about 15 years of experience in both clinical and research OT. I'm currently working as a scientific program officer at the American Occupational Therapy Foundation. My educational background includes a master's from Tufts University and my PhD from NYU. And after that, I worked at Children's National Hospital in DC for about 6.5 years in both clinical and research role. I'm really excited to be here to talk about funding, which is a topic that doesn't get discussed, but should be discussed more.
What does it mean to get funding? Who gets funding and what is that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because everybody talks about funding and it just never gets explained. When we are talking about funding specifically in research, we're actually referring to the monetary support or the money that we're getting through grants, which we get for conducting scientific research. They're mostly received through a competitive process in which multiple people send in applications, they're reviewed, and you are then given a grant.
A bit more about why funding for research is so important. And, outside of, yes, we need it to sustain our own careers and to keep our own projects going, are there kind of broader reasons that we really should be thinking about funding for?
Able to continue to do the research and to be able to make that big impact. So that's one thing. The second thing is, of course, your career. As you part of your career, I think to be able to advance, you have to yourself get the feedback that the work that you're doing is important enough. And you get that a lot from when you receive grants, that confidence in your own work. Yes, somebody's ready to fund us, somebody's ready to pay me to do that research. So it is important. It helps you advocate for yourself. So those are a couple of things that are, I think, very important. And then you get that on your resume. You look at somebody who can take this idea forward, and that helps you advance in your own career as well.
Yeah, I think I heard a lot in there. And so thinking about advancing your own career and then also thinking about advancing the field broadly, right, as we're thinking about advancing our own
Yes.
ideas. One of the things I don't know about either of you when you kind of really realize that, like, oh, I'm eligible now to apply for funding. But I think that's something that sometimes as a student, I don't feel like I really understood what the options were and what was available to me. So we're just kind of curious who, are students eligible for funding and what types or what, how broad is that?
So it is actually much broader than you think it is, because yes, any and every researcher can apply for research funding as long as they meet the eligibility requirements for a particular funding opportunity that they're planning to apply for. So what you do is you look at a funding opportunity, you go through the eligibility requirements and see where you fit. So for example, the organization that I work for, American Occupational Therapy Foundation, it not only has grants for for early career researchers or faculty, but also has grants for doctoral students, for postdoctoral students. And then there are several internal grants a lot of universities and organizations would have for their master's level students. So you have to, if you're in a faculty position, you have to encourage your students to Google grants for master's students every now and then, or look through the university website. Or if your university has a department that manages grants and does research related work, you have to reach out to them to see what's available for your students. It is important to do your own research, looking into what funding is available. But there is, I can assure you, there is a ton of funding available for students at all levels.
So that made me think of something, kind of a little bit of a separate question that I hadn't thought of before, but is there a difference between, or I guess, what would you describe as the difference between a scholarship versus a grant, or like an OTD type of research award?
So what grants are mostly for bigger research. These grants are basically the bigger money that you get to support your research study, to advance your idea, and to convert into something that would make a greater impact. Scholarships, I would say, maybe is still supporting your scholarly activity, but are usually smaller than the grants. Are given at any level, still at doctoral level, postdoctoral level, also at master's level, but usually seen as smaller amount of money, but still supporting your scholarly activities.
That was helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe related to those different sizes, how much money are we talking about when we talk about a grant versus maybe one of those smaller types of scholarships or master's or OTD level awards?
It's a great question. There is really no set number. So when you're talking about scholarships and grants, it really depends on the funder or the funding organization, how much the grant is going to be. It can range anywhere. So for AOTF, which is a standalone nonprofit, grant scholarships and fellowships can range all the way from $5,000 to $100,000. Whereas if you look at an organization like NIH, their grants can go up to millions of dollars. So it just, there is no set number. It depends on what you find, where, you know, you're applying and what they are offering in terms of grants.
It sounds like it's really important to do your research and figure out what organizations exist and what the funding opportunities are.
Yes. And a good thing to know is nowadays there are multiple websites that will actually give you a list of organizations that offer grants. All you have to do is look for something that's going to match what you're doing. So cannot think of one such website, but even if you go to the NIH website, they have several institutes that come within NIH, and they will have like a list of grants that they are offering through all the institutes.
This actually is a great segue to the next question I was going to ask, and that was really about the types of funding mechanisms. And so we've talked about AOTF a little bit. You just kind of talked a bit about NIH. What are other funding mechanisms that, you know, support OT research, or that would be good to support OT research?
There are actually many local, national, and international funding bodies that can provide grants that are necessary for research. However, the thing to remember is that the priorities for different funding agencies may vary. And this needs to be kept in mind while you're planning to write a grant proposal. There might be an agency that's offering a grant that doesn't really fund OT research per se, but might have priorities that align with your topic of interest. So when you're looking for an agency to fund your research, your keywords shouldn't be occupational therapy, or if you are looking in physical therapy, it shouldn't be physical therapy or speech therapy, but you should be looking using your own research idea, because you have to find which is the organization that's ready to fund that. For example, let's talk about Michael J. Fox, the foundation. It is focused on funding research that is related to Parkinsonism. So you could be an OT working, you know, with something related to Parkinson's disease. although the organization doesn't say it has to be an OT research, but the topic, the idea is related to something that that particular foundation is interested in funding. Similarly, there are agencies like, you know, NIH, which is a big organization that has several institutes under it, like National Cancer Institute for OTs, you know, doing oncology related studies, or National Institute on Aging, which you can, if you're doing a geriatric study, you can look for options there. Then there is National Institute of Arthritis and Musculoskeletal and Skin Diseases. Then there is National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. There is NIMH, which is the National Institute of Mental Health. Then there is National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. So my point is that all these institutes have several opportunities that might align with some of the ideas that OTs work on, but might not say, oh, this is for OT research. So look into that. Other organizations that I think OTs should know about are NIDLR, which is the National Institute on Disability, Independent Living and Rehab Network, or Rehab Research. It's a federal government's primary disability research organization. And I think everybody should look at what they're offering every now and then, because a lot of what they offer aligns with what we do as OTs. There's also Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or AHRQ, which basically is looking to create evidence on making healthcare safer, higher quality, more accessible and equitable, more affordable. So a lot of people who are doing a health services kind of research, but our OTs can look there for grants. Then there are organizations like PCORI, or Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, which is an independent nonprofit research organization that funds primarily comparative clinical effectiveness research, which compares two or more medical treatments or services to help patients and other stakeholders make better decisions. So that's something that's right up our alley as OTs. So if you're doing something in that area, it could be an organization to look at. And then there are organizations which are standalone nonprofits like the AOTF. We are a scientific and educational organization which is solely invested in funding OT research. So that's something that you might want to start with when, you know, you're starting as a researcher, and you're starting with working on grants for your ideas, which you then want to take to a higher level and apply for federal bigger grants. So the smaller grants for AOTF can get you prepared for those bigger grants. So several organizations, mm-hmm. and Google, reach out, ask your mentors, reach out to your university research people, look at people who've gotten these grants and make your way.
I think you just provided a whole lot of really helpful information. There's so many organizations. And I think the two things that I just pulled out there that I want to make sure to highlight are, you don't have to stay within OT, within your field. And in fact, probably most people don't. One thing that I've heard a lot from students is, you know, thinking that maybe the only place that OTs publish their research is in OT journals, and maybe the only place that they get their research funding is from OT organizations. But it sounds like, and I think Kelly and I from experience too would say, that's not true at all. And really, in fact, you might have to go outside of OT, and you probably should talk to your mentors and see where they've gotten funding from and get advice about the best places to go. But where you
thing that I heard there too was like, it should be driven by your kind of aims or area of interest, as opposed to that, you know, there the field specific is great and yes exists, but we really should be looking driven by those aims. Is that kind of what you're saying? Like really what the institute priorities are and how that relates to your own research goals.
Exactly. And you're actually significantly limiting yourself if you're looking at only the organizations that say, oh, we're going to fund OT research, because there's just so few. And I think I might be wrong, but AOTF is probably the only organization that's funding solely OT research. So you are significantly limiting yourself if you're looking for those keywords when you're looking for grants. for your study. So change your keywords is what I would say.
I think that's pretty solid advice. But I also heard you say that using AOTF might be a great stepping stone for helping particularly early career researchers get a foot in the door and maybe get some of those pilot studies funded or initial scholarly activities underway so that you can go for those bigger grants. Could you tell us a little bit about the specific awards that AOTF offers for trainees?
Yeah, I very strongly believe in what you said, and not only because I work for the AOTF, but I'm also an OT who has gone through a period where I was looking for grants. It was really hard to find something that I knew would like align with my work, and also to deal with the fear and the overwhelming amount of information that's out there in terms of applying for grants. Because when you're a doctoral student or you're a postdoc or an early career researcher, you look at the requirements for this NIH grant and you feel like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do it. It's just too much and I don't feel ready for it. So I think that makes it worthwhile applying for smaller grants. And that's where organizations or foundations like AOTF come in. Because what we do is, one, since we are catering only to the population that is doing OT research, your competition for getting a grant is much smaller than if you were applying for a bigger federal grant. So keep that in mind. And the second thing is it does provide you with that smaller amount of money that you need as a stepping stone for the bigger grants. So you have something on your resume, you have some preliminary data, and now you're ready to apply for a bigger grant, which has requirements that are much bigger than what you would need to apply for an AOTF grant. So if you want to start your journey with the AOTF, you could start as a doctoral student with 2 offer scholarships. The Dr. Gary Keel Hoffner Doctoral Research Scholarship in OT and the Bonita Craft, which are both $5,000 awards. We do not ask you for any sort of, you know, follow-up or anything. It's merit-based. We look at you, we see how you're doing, how strong your research proposal is, and you get the scholarship. For postdoctoral students, we have 2 fellowships. One is the Nidra Gillett Endowed Research Fellowship, which is, again, a $5,000 award. And then the second one is Nancy Talbot Postdoctoral Research Fellowship, which is basically to improve diversity of OT workforce by supporting postdoctoral training for an individual from a racial and ethnic group that is demonstrated to have low representation in biomedical, behavioral, clinical, and social sciences. It's a bigger award. It's a $30,000 award for 1 year, but it has the possibility of a competitive renewal for a second year. So you can reapply and you can again get it the second year. Then we have 3 bigger grants, which are for OT faculty or early career researchers. One, our oldest grant, which is the Intervention Research Grant. This grant program the award is $50,000 for 1 year. And the program provides seed funding for the development of new and novel ideas in order to generate preliminary data as proof of concept. So it basically helps you lay the necessary groundwork for larger studies that you can then use to apply for, you know, bigger grants. You have this proof of concept, you can use it when you're writing a research proposal and apply for a much bigger grant. The second one is the Implementation Research Grant, which aims to develop and evaluate the processes used to implement, sustain, and scale up evidence-based practice with an end goal to improve the quality and effectiveness of care. So basically, implementation in the system. It is a $50,000 grant for 1 year, but you can also get $100,000 for up to 2 years. So if you have a budget for 2 years, you're thinking your study is going to be for 2 years, you can get up to $100,000. Same as the Award for Health Services Research Grant, which basically supports studies looking at how different factors affect access to healthcare, quality and cost of healthcare, and ultimately the health and well-being of healthcare consumers. So that's another bigger grant, $100,000 for up to 2 years. So those are the main grants that we do. Then every now and then we'll collaborate with other foundations. So like I think last year or the year before, we collaborated with Michael J. Fox to offer a grant for a study that was related to Parkinson's disease. So every now and then, it's good to keep an eye on the newsletter, good to keep an eye on the website to see what we're offering that year. Later this year, we'll also come up with another fund, which is called the Stride Research Fund. We haven't put it on the website yet, but it's coming, which will support mentorship for OTD students and clinicians who want to go towards research.
That's fantastic. That's really exciting to hear about. I will just say a quick plug for if anybody's listening and curious about upcoming funding opportunities that are relevant to occupational therapy, the AOTF newsletter email that comes out often has new opportunities for funding or scholarships and or conferences even coming up. So if you aren't already on that mailing list, it's a helpful one to be on.
I just was going to ask a follow-up question. You talked about some postdoctoral awards and they jumped from kind of like smaller, clearly research focused awards of around 5,000, right, to like there was a 30,000. Is that something, how can that money be used? Is that something that folks would only be able to use for research costs, or like, let's say they found some kind of postdoctoral position and needed to supplement both research costs and part of their effort? Is that
so possible? Yeah, a part of it can go towards it. But I will have to look at the breakup of the budget, which I don't remember how much of the cost can go towards that. But I know a part of it can. But exactly what the number is, I don't remember that.
But I mean, ultimately, I think where I was going is that there are different ways that people can use those funds.
Absolutely.
As long as it's within the guidelines.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's another thing that, you know, I know, especially early on when I was looking at funding opportunities, trying to understand, one, how to develop a budget, but then what are the different ways I could use these funds if I were to get it, is something that I think is important to think about. And we don't necessarily learn enough about that on the front end.
Yeah. And I think for that, NIH website is a great resource because you'll see the templates there. So one thing that you're reading is what the funding organization is saying in terms of creating the budget. So usually you'll see there are guidelines and instructions on how and what to include in the budget, how much you can, what percentage can go towards direct cost and indirect cost. But there's also, like we know for AOTF, we follow NIH system for our grants. So you can, if you're looking for examples, I can try putting some examples on the website, but you can also go to NIH website, which is an amazing resource for grants, where you can see how people have structured their budgets to be able to get whatever they want. So there are different examples. You can always, you know, find that. And you can always reach out to the program officer if you have questions to ask whether I'm doing it right or not. Can this go into my budget or is this too much? You know, I want to put a little bit towards my salary. Do you think that's too much to do? So the big thing with budget is you follow the guidelines and you justify what you're doing. So if you can do that, it makes for a good budget.
Okay. And you actually brought up another point, which is where I think I was going to go next. We've talked a lot about research being a really important first step, right? So doing our own research to figure out what funding opportunities align with our goals and, you know, how well we our project aligns with their priorities. But I want to just kind of see what you thought about, like, what are other initial steps? Like, what's the next step for folks after they find, like, hey, I really think I want to apply for this?
So the first thing you have to do for any kind of research is have an idea, right? You have an idea, you refine that idea by going through the literature, you find out more about the subject, you find where the gaps are, and you then design a study. You design a study, it should be a well-designed study because you cannot correct the flaws later once you are into doing it. So that's another step that you're doing in making sure everything is in place. You're collaborating with people, which is one of the big things, is collaborating with people who have some sort of experience and expertise in the area that you're planning to write a proposal. in. So make sure you have somebody on board with you who can guide you, who can tell you if you're going the right way or if there's something that needs to be corrected or done to make it better. And the fourth part is actually writing a grant. So you start it writing the grant, you start it as early as possible. A lot of times researchers would wait until they see the call for proposal posted on the website. If you are waiting for that, you are very late. You have to start, don't wait for that call for proposal. Start as early as possible. So you have time not only to write a good proposal, but also to revise it, to have a peer or a mentor go through it and to critically analyze it. Because you might have to do that several times. You write it and you don't feel it's ready to be sent to a mentor, but you want to send it to like another colleague who you think would understand the way you've written. You send it to them, they'll critically analyze it. You make it better, you send it to your mentor. So it takes like a lot of steps to do it. Additionally, it is always important to be on the lookout for call for proposals and deadlines for various grants. Ideally, in ideal situation, the draft, your first draft of the research proposal should be ready way before that call for proposal, because otherwise you rush everything when you get close to the deadline. So try to do it as early as possible, and that would be my recommendation. With who to do it, you can do it by yourself. But in my opinion, it's best to have a team of collaborators, as I said earlier. This way, you're bringing in people from, you know, various backgrounds with different expertise. And you're also making sure that you have somebody on team who has experience of not only writing, but getting grants. Because some of the grant writing process, not some of it, I correct myself there. Most of the grant writing process is actually learned by doing, because that's not something that you're taught in school. It's something that you learn by doing. So the more you do it, more you learn. So if you have somebody on your team who's done it before, you're in good hands.
That was great.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I've heard from people, you know, allow like a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the first half of that year, a whole 6 months basically just to developing and revising the AIMS page, because that single page is so important.
Yeah. And another thing that I'd like to add is a lot of times people think, oh, you know, I went through this process and I applied, but I didn't get it. It's a waste. It's not a waste, because one, when you apply for a grant, you get feedback from the reviewers. So when you get that feedback, that helps you make your project better or your proposal better, so you can resubmit it the year after. And the second thing is, it's teaching you the art of writing for grants. So that's an art that you learn by doing. If you don't do it, or the less you do it, less you learn. More you do it, more you learn. So keep doing it. Maybe you won't get the grant the first few times, but by the time you reach a point where you get it, you'll be such a good resource for someone else to do it, because you'll know what are the things that people pick on. You know what are the things that you should remember, what makes the proposal stronger or weaker, what are the common things that are common mistakes that you should avoid. So you learn by doing.
I'm still early career, so I feel like that advice applies very well for me. I just have to keep trying. And, you know, I do feel like in every revision, I'm able to pay attention to something else that I wasn't, like the first draft, the first time I submitted something, you know, I was really just focused on the science and making sure that I had all the parts there, but not necessarily refining it. Like, does it very explicitly state the priority of that foundation or of that institute? And, you know, it's hard to focus on every little thing.
Don't be scared of reaching out to the program officer, because if you are looking at a particular organization or foundation that's offering the grant, but you don't know if your ideas really align with what their priorities are, that's what the program officers are there for. Their job pretty much is to help you with that. That doesn't mean that you send them your whole thing and ask them to read your proposal, because they're not going to do it. But it's important that you send them exactly what your questions are, what are the aims for your study, so they can sort of overlook and can tell you, oh, yeah, this is something that I feel is is the kind of subject that aligns with what our organization is trying to do. So it's worth asking the question. They can also tell you certain things about what the organization values, what are some of the things that they've seen people doing wrong. Like I think I was speaking at the OT Summit when I mentioned a lot of times typos become a big thing. So you might have a great proposal, but then the proposal has so many typos that it indicates you weren't really serious about submitting it, and that doesn't really reflect well on you. So you have to make sure those little things, even little things like that, are taken care of. So,
I was going to say, a lot of institutions, I know our institution has like a scientific editing service as a resource, right?
Yes.
And so we can have the best ideas and not be great writers and really struggle in getting that grant. So really like thinking about the resources that we have available to us to support those kinds of, you know, to beef up the skills that we maybe aren't the strongest in.
Use the resources you have available. I also always tell people to think of, I don't know if you've seen the show Shark Tank. Shark Tank is a show where people pitch their ideas for these venture capitalists to invest in their ideas. Getting grants is sort of like that. You're pitching your idea. You're pitching your idea to a foundation, an organization that's going to eventually give you the money. You have to remember that the better you write, better you're pitching your idea, right? It's about writing, because if I'm a reviewer, I haven't met you. I haven't seen you. I don't know your work. What I see is what you've written in that proposal. So do a good job of writing. That's your pitch for your idea. That's what you're going to be funded on. And remember, anything you write, make sure you connect it to what impact it will have for the field. You know, just like Shark Tank, if there's a product that doesn't really have an impact, nobody's going to fund it because it won't sell. Right? So it's the same thing. I, as a foundation or organization, I'm looking for something that can make a big impact in the field. So even if you think that the stage that you're at right now, it's not going to make that bigger impact right after this study, tell us the plan. Give us a plan. Tell us where this is going and where you plan to take it, where you see it making that big impact. So make a connection.
So really helping the reviewer kind of see the same pictures that we see, see the vision that we see. Yeah, there's lots. I've written down some of the gems I feel like you've shared today. Things like start early and earlier than you think you should, right? Making sure we're aligning our ideas with our organization's priorities and using those ideas to really identify and select those grant opportunities. You talked about collaboration. We didn't talk a lot about this, but you know, this idea that research is not an individual sport, right? Like really thinking about who you're collaborating with and making sure you're getting input, apply and reapply, and then talk to the program officer. Is there anything I'm missing? Are there other things?
I think experienced mentorship, you know, that theme just comes around so often, that writing, like you were just saying, it's not an individual sport, but there is a skill. And you had talked about this too, Satvika, like, it's grant writing is a specific art and skill. And I think having somebody that has a history of successful grants on your team, in your corner, somehow providing feedback and guidance is really essential.
Yeah. And if you're at a university where you don't have a lot of people who've gotten, you know, big grants, but you're aspiring to go that route where you want to get good big grants, reach out to people outside of your own zone. Most of the time, researchers are very willing to help other researchers. So try for it. You have to remember that research funding is an essential part of doing research. You have to be able to get your research funded to be able to continue to do it. So don't be shy. Reach out to people. Most people are very nice and they're very willing to help. If they are not able to help, they'll connect you to other people who can help. But you have to take the first step, the initiative. It has to be yours. So always remember that.
Other like final words of wisdom or any other advice that you'd want to get provide to future scientists about funding? We've talked about a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking, I think there are two things that I had in mind, which I've said multiple times during our conversation, is that securing funding for a research project is one topic that's not discussed while you're in school. So a lot of good ideas don't really materialize because of lack of funding. So start working on your grant writing as early as you can in your career. Don't think it's too early or I'm not ready for it. Give it a try. Every time you do it, it teaches you something, even if you don't get the grant. So that's going to be one thing. And the second part is your research. Remember, the research funding is not only providing you an opportunity for designing a good study and doing a good study, but it also allows you to understand the administrative aspect of conducting a research. So we are scientists. We think of the science part of it. What we don't realize is there's a whole administrative part of it that we don't know about. So when you go through the grant process, you get to learn that as well, which is very important for you to be able to do a successful research. So keep that in mind and don't shy away from reaching out to the program officer. It's part of their job to help you guys.
That's a great final words. Do you have any final things to say, Kelly?
No, I just was going to say that was great. I feel like there are so many gems in here and like you, I'm an early career. So I feel like I've learned a lot today. It's given me a lot to think about. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm so happy that I could join you guys. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, they can always reach out.
Thank you for joining us today. Check out our other episodes to hear more. You can find the first season on YouTube under Washington University Program and Occupational Therapies channel under the First Fridays for OT Research playlist.
And more episodes of Demystifying Research linked under the Research tab on the Washington University OT webpage at ot.wustl.edu. That's ot.wustl.edu. Send us your ideas for future episodes at Demystifying Research.